Today's first reading is from Leviticus. In the beginning, I did not like this book at all. Have you ever read this book, Leviticus? This one, two, or kind of, you will not like it. There are about over 100 things, 100 ways you may defile yourself. In a way of saying, this book is about what you shall not do, what you shall not even eat, touch. And there are things that may even disturb you. So, but I started as that, in the beginning, I did not like this book. I still do not really like this book, but I see the point. And there is a belief that this book was not fully written by Moses, and most likely not. This book is most likely completed when they were in exile, meaning that when they lost their kingdom, their God, their temple, they are in other people's land as captives, wondering, regretting about what went wrong. You know, what happened? We used to have this God, mighty and powerful, taking care of us. What happened to us? Why did we lose all that? And that kind of repentive tradition might have completed all these very detailed way of how to be clean. If you ever read any kind of book about anthropology or human history, kind of ancient days, you get to find that ever since human beings are conscious of, they try to find a way to connect to God. And by doing so, we wonder about, well, what's the best way? What's the way that I can be with God? Why am I not closer to God? Or why is that person closer to God? And universally speaking, all culture and tradition, and also even regardless of, you know, West and East, all that, they all agree to get closer to your divine, you have to be pure. You have to be clean. And to be away from that being, you have to be impure and unclean. And there's a word came out, developed as taboo. Taboo is the way that you make yourself unclean. So you the way you make yourself away from your God. Even African, you know, every culture again, every village, from Africa to the mountains, to Alaska, to United States, to Western Europe, we all have a certain way of those things. Some may have a more restricted way, more detailed way like this. Some may have a little broader way. But the key concept, what we're really looking is, how do we prepare ourselves to be the real vessels of the divine force? How do we make us to let God come into us or bring us toward God? In a very simple way, that's the question. And Leviticus's answer is they want to cover all sides and all aspects. Why? They have lost it all. So maybe what they're thinking is, maybe we have to be perfect. And if you remember what Jesus was quite criticizing about those Pharisees and Sadducees, about their traditions. And even believing in human tradition more than the teaching of God. They have lost, in emphasizing details, they have lost what was really important. Like, there was a saying that when you have crossed over the river, you leave the boat behind. and you continue on your journey. You were on a journey. But some people are stuck with the boat. That boat has become so precious. They have to keep it. So they can't leave it. So they stay in the river, kind of going back and forth, back and forth, and saying, one day I'll jump out and continue my journey. In this Leviticus, again, I am reading, my biblical reading goes through Leviticus at this moment. I just read up to chapter 19. Same things all over again. But at the same time, what I see is this, that they're crying, people's crying that, how can we make myself proper to receive the blessing of God? And they're crying out because they have lost it. Or that's what they thought. So the question, first question to you is, can you really lose God? Think about that. This teaching also is quite famous one. So you might have heard about it. And this is the teaching based on which that all Reformed, actually all Christian churches proclaim that we can eat red steaks. Yes, so that's why we eat them. In a way, we enjoy octopus, we enjoy eels, we enjoy all food in the nature, and we believe it's all good and clean. And question to you is, do you really think that's what Jesus was really concerned about? To proclaim that foods are clean. Interesting thing about this book is we hear a lot of prohibitions and shall not do's. Now, if you remember about biblical figures in the whole Bible, how many people are actually punished by God by, let's say, breaking them? Actually punished. Was anybody punished and judged because he ate, I don't know, pig, eel, octopus? You don't hear that. Like there are only a few people, in a way, really punished by God. And first person come in is Cain, because he killed his brother. Yes, he not only killed a human being, he killed his own brother. But he was not killed. He only was, he left his family. God did not kill him or cursed him in any way. Actually, God gave him protection. Cain was saying that people will kill me. So God gave him a protection saying that whoever kills Cain will receive, 10 times curses. Does that make sense? Yes, that's God. Now, if you go through, there's King Saul, who was quite arrogant and not trusting God. So therefore, he became the first king of Israel, but he was also kind of disregarded by God. But he ruled the kingdom for 40 years. You know, we were saying he had all his chances and opportunities to make it better, but he didn't. So he died in the battlefield, the battle that he shouldn't have engaged. But he did anyway. There are a few people died. King David was accused by God because he killed a man to take his wife. And after that, what God was really concerned with the people is people believing other gods. Or more likely worshiping idols. In a sense that the gods that they made and they worship. And that was a big problem. Other than that, you don't see anybody really punished or judged by even prophets by eating this food or that food. You don't really see that. Only the elders were really concerned about it.
Yes.
So Jesus was saying, anything that is in this nature, that is created by God, is actually clean. In a way of saying, we are clean too. I was looking into this teaching again this time and noticed interesting thing. To be made unclean, you have to be clean. Can you make something that's already unclean uncleaner? That doesn't, but that doesn't make sense, right? You don't say you're making things that's already unclean uncleaner. It's already unclean. Or something that's impure. Are you going to say that I'm going to make it more impure? We don't really say it that way. If it's impure, then it's impure. So when Jesus and God is saying this, it's trying to say, in a way, messages that you are actually clean. Maybe the way of life that we're supposed to live is try to actually live life that's clean versus trying to make it clean. There's a little difference. Because the famous teaching in the Protestants and Christians that I disagree is that we're born unclean. We're born damned. We're born sinned. Because Adam sinned, we're all sinners, we're all damned. We're all defiled by birth. That's why we emphasize so much about way to clean and clean and clean and clean. But at the same time, that is a very negative notion about yourself. You are accepting the notion that you are damned by birth. So your whole life is about how to make it better. But on the other hand, what Bible is saying, you're born clean. You just have to keep it clean. And there's a huge difference. So, if you believe you're a clean and pure being, does that make you feel better? You should, because that's what you are. And if you were to ask, then what about all those bad things happening in the world? Or what about all those bad thoughts that I get to have? And that's why this teaching is actually important. And this touches every story in the Bible somehow goes always back to the beginning. The Garden of Eden story. In the garden, when God created, human beings were perfect and having fun. But in that garden were two trees. One was tree of life, another was tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? And God actually pointed out to them, that's the tree. Don't eat from it. It sounded like God is almost encouraging them to eat it. In a way. But actually, it may not be. Because now I realize that I have a son and daughter. My son's 7 years old. When I'm saying, don't do it, mean it, actually. And my son's actually the way, like, if I really insist that way, he doesn't do it. However, my daughter seems to be different. Maybe she has to check that out. You know, that's really true. So, when God was telling them that, what does that mean? Don't eat from this tree. I believe God was saying that you have freedom. Either to eat or not to eat. But God had to tell them that eating from this tree will cause you this. you are a free being. That's what this Bible is beginning with. And whole story is about humanity willing to give up their freedom to their kings and gods and priests. We are just willing to give it up, willing to accept the command, willing to accept their orders, and also willing to accept the rewards, saying that, oh, you are saved, you go to heaven, feel good about it. Since when going to heaven was the business that human beings can make the decision about? Right? There's no human being can tell the other human beings that you're going heaven, you're going hell. There's no way. This book, I love this book because it begins with God acknowledging and giving human beings the freedom to choose. The essential, the most fundamental freedom that you have. That is, you can choose between being good and being opposite of good. We call that evil. And hopefully we realize being the opposite of good is not really good for us. And Jesus was just naming a few things, and actually, if any of those are actually in your mind, it doesn't make you feel really good. And, for example, like if you are angry, very simple example, like you are having a happy day in the beginning, and when you're driving, somebody just cuts you in without giving you a signal. Turns like... And then after that, the thoughts coming out of your mind, would you like that? Or but words that coming out of your mouth after that. What happened to you? Right? Before, your mind was calm and enjoying this beautiful day, and then changes. Just by like a second. Or when you're having a real bad day, and your friends calls and saying, out of blue, I love you. Like, makes your day. It changes your mind again. So, what Jesus is really saying is that everything that exists outside you are just there to influence you. They don't make you actually defiled, but they don't make you good either. Only thing that has chosen by you, your heart, and made your own, that comes out of your heart, that's what's making what you really are. So to begin with, you are a pure being. You're a clean being. So, would you like to take that as your foundation to seek, find God? Or would you like take the other one saying, you're damned, you're a sinful being, you're horrible, so you need God's mercy and forgiveness and all the time. Is that what you want? In a way, that's another two trees that is planted in every single human being at this age. And some churches really teach us that you're damned, you're damned, you're damned. And that's why you have to do a lot of things to cleanse your sin, your damnedness. So they require a lot of things. You do this to the church, well, God will forgive your sin. You do this to the church, in a way, that really doesn't work that way. And you know. So, next thing I was saying probably 2 weeks ago, but we'll repeat, is that you have brain to think. That's God's blessing to you. And it is a blessing of God that we're born in this age, that you can learn anything you want. You can learn anything you want. You see, for us, it's so granted that, like, yeah, we can learn anything we want. If you move 100 years ago to the beginning of the human history, was there any age that it was allowed to people to learn anything they want? Regardless of your age, gender, your race, you can learn anything you want. At the same time, you can think any way you want. Right? And sometimes you can do actions the way you really like to do a lot of times. Now, who is then in this situation? What is the force behind in this that is making you either good person or bad person? It's you. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. That in our heart, we see who we are and we make the decisions what we want to be. And then we bring it out. Out of mouth means actually by actions. But, as I told you, God is so loving being. Amazingly loving. In a way of saying that in this book you find God breaking his own rule to forgive. Okay? That you find more of that than God trying to keep his rule to punish people. So you are a pure and clean being. And God wants you to be like that. But the key to keep you clean has to start in your heart. So next time somebody cuts you in without giving you a signal, just smile at them. Don't make any judgment at all. Don't even think about it. You know? Happened? Okay. Sometimes we just have to accept those things and let go of them. Of course, sometimes we have to sit down and think about it. So that's also your choice. Making those choices, God's blessings comes in a bigger, stronger way or smaller, weaker way. So go back to my first question. Can we really lose God? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. God cannot lose us, in a sense, because God is present in all of us no matter what. But we could lose God by choosing constantly the opposite of God. And when the moment comes that in our heart and mind there's no presence of God, we don't think of God. We don't think of love anymore. We don't feel love anymore. We lose God. But God does not lose us. So if you feel you lost God, so you find it again. Because God hasn't lost you. It's kind of mind game in a way. In a way, everything is mind game. Just like one second you're angry, next second you're happy. One second you're depressed, next second you're happy. That's how our mind is playing. So, today's key to share to you is take the control of your mind. Take the control of it. It's your mind. It's you. And may God bless you and strengthen you on that. Amen.